Good morning. Welcome to First Presbyterian Church here on Pentecost Sunday. I'll be doing the announcements first. Welcome to our minister today, John Alexander, to my right. A couple quick announcements. The Presbyterian Women's Birthday Offering will be taken today. You can read in the bulletin insert about this year's recipients. Secondly, we've got an end of school activity for children and parents today at 4 p.m. There's going to be a water slide and other water activities. I presume it's not rain. Games and refreshments. We have a congregational meeting Sunday, June 6th, 2 weeks from today, where we'll be voting on a new pastor. And finally, we have a session meeting today right after worship service, and we'll be meeting in the conference room. So with no further ado, Reverend Alexander, it's yours.
I might, let me get myself down here. Yeah, that's better. I'm not even sure that that's good.
You all can hear me if I keep my little gizmo on my ear.
Okay.
Peace of Christ. You said
The hymn, okay.
No. In your
yeah, I'm John Alexander, and some of you have twice, I think. I live in Beaumont. I'm a retired
Presbyterian minister. I say that because I still do things like that. I do some other things that most people don't know about.
It's
very interesting. I've done several different things as I've gone along. One time I led and started a
give that a try. Is the ear still going to work or just forget about it? Good. I'll let it hang down here. That's where it wants to hang anyhow, and it keeps wanting to come off of my ear. I don't know whether any of the other of you that are somewhat deaf who have hearing aids and you have glasses, when you put the third thing, the speaker thing, on your ears, Most of us do not have big enough or deep enough ears to keep all of that stuff up there right. Okay. Enough about me. Anyhow, we should get this thing started. Sorry about that. May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
In the call to worship, the prophets ask, "Can my soul, weary bones, live again?"
Oh God, you know.
We ask, "Can we dance again after mourning and loss and grief?"
Oh God, you know.
The gift is sure and unmistakable.
God's breath poured out as new life for weary souls.
Let us celebrate the gift of God's new life.
The breath of God will revive us. The word of God will awaken us. The Holy Spirit is with us.
Let us pray. Almighty and gracious Father, we appreciate the opportunity to come together and to worship, to think again, to be aware of the Scripture, to be aware of your speaking to us and what it means to live out the Christian life. We are thankful and we lift up our hearts in thanksgiving. Amen.
Please stand if you are able, and we are going to sing "Come, O Spirit," number 127.
Together, the prayer of confession.
Heavenly Father,
you dwell within us in sights too deep for words, yet we cannot hear you. Caring, gentle Spirit, you wrap us tenderly in fierce love. You give us the breath of life, yet we cannot touch you. Brother Jesus, we yearn for your presence. We seek your abundant grace, yet we cannot feel it. Sister Spirit, you prepare to sear our souls for your purposes, yet we allow our sober selves to intrude, shutting our minds to your power. Remember us, we pray,
that we need only trust the giver of life to find the hope and faith you have promised. Gather us up in the winds of your favor and carry us to greater heights. Through Christ who loves us still. Amen.
May the Almighty God bless us and give us hope and forgiveness and possibility and grace. That our God does, and forgives us and gives us the wonderful Spirit of God to fill us full with it as we move forth as Christians into the world. Amen.
Glory be to the Father and to
be seated. This is a time under normal circumstances that we pass the plate and have the offering. In this particular instance, if you use the place, whatever it is, in the sanctuary in the narthex as you leave, the offering is important because, in a sense, that reminds us of our commitment, of our dedication. Not only for this particular church, but as we live out the Christian faith in the midst of the world. So let us sing our doxology. Seated. Let us do the Old Testament lesson. You will find it in your insert. It's a very familiar, ancient story, and we'll talk about its relationship with Pentecost this morning. And let us use our responsive reading here. Now the old earth had one language and the same words.
And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there.
And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had a brick for stone and bitumen for mortar.
Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth."
The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which mortals had built.
And the Lord said, "Look, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them.
Come, let us go down and confuse their language, so that they will not understand one another's speech.
So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city.
Therefore it was called Babel, or Babel really is the play off of it, because the Lord confused the language of the earth, of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad across the face of the earth. Here ends the reading from our Genesis story. Are there any children that would like to come forward?
Let's see, he says I've not heard very well when I'm back out over here. We'll see. Come on up. Just come on up and sit up here somewhere. And I'll sit down with you. Makes reference. Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. And this story makes reference to, in a sense, Babylon, which comes later. Is it on?
Well. Over here, but I don't know that it.
This one has a green light. That's a good thing.
Does that one work?
Yes.
Am I on? Can you hear me? Do you have it on that one? Can you hear me?
Okay.
We won't worry about it.
As long as the kids can hear me.
Sure.
We really are going to.
Does that one work? Yeah, I hear some breathing.
Let's see if we're on. Okay. Anyhow, there, he got it. Third time is the charm, people. Anyhow, there's this old, old story that was floating around that they used about the creation of languages among the people. And they talked about it in terms of getting together, and there was a big town, actually a bigger than a town, ultimately, that they referred to as Babylon, which was actually later, but that's all right. Anyhow, that's where they get the word Babel, in other words, babbling. Do you understand what babbling is? Yeah, which you kind of rattle around with words that don't seem to make any sense. And nobody else can quite figure out what it is that you're doing. You know, we talk about kids, especially babies, babbling. They're going, blah, 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 but it isn't meaning anything. And so that's a tie-off on that. So here they are, and they build a big tower, kind of like to heaven. Of course, they're not going to get to heaven that way, and heaven's not up there, but that's beside the point. They thought of up as God. And what happened is they were all, this meant that the top people, whoever the emperor was or the king was, and the people that surrounded him, they were important and everybody else wasn't. And they made all of the decisions. In our day, we talk about that as a dictatorship, somebody that tells you what to do, and that's the way it is. And God came down, and he took a look at this situation, and he said, that's not good. That's not fair for the people. And so what he did, he came down, and let's see if I can find the right words. They wanted to make a name for themselves, and they wanted to be gods. I'll pick it up in a minute. Soon, he says, on my Bible here, they will be able to do anything that they want. In other words, the people at the top. Let us go and mix up their language so that they will not understand each other. And so what God does at this particular time, supposedly everybody can hear each other, and now they can't because they have different languages. And then he scatters them over the face of the earth as they talk about it. And here they are, these people speaking different languages. You know it, maybe, I don't know. Do you know anybody that speaks from Spanish words and so on? There's probably some people here in town that do. And most of them know English, but most of us don't know Spanish. And if you try to carry on a conversation, it doesn't work very well. That's the situation. So he spreads it out this way. Then we're going to talk about Pentecost, where it comes and brings them all back together again as the one language. So that's how these two things go. And Pentecost is a big... I'm sure you do. Do you have a birthday party when you have your birthday? Maybe these days. And a birthday party is fun. And in a sense, what Pentecost this Sunday celebrates is the birthday of the beginning of the Christian church. So I don't know. I don't think they had cake and ice cream. If we'd have been in charge, we probably would have done that. But anyhow, they had a celebration, and they could hear each other. So let's pray. Thank you, God, that you care about us, that you want us to be able to hear and understand when people are talking. And you want us to be aware of who they are and what they care about, not just about caring about ourselves. Thank you, God. Amen. Okay. You can go on back. Thank you. Now I got to get up. Okay, let me read the Pentecost passage. This is in the book of Acts, starting with the second chapter, beginning with the first verse. When the day of Pentecost came, which was a Jewish festival, all the believers were gathered together in one place. Actually, they were in Jerusalem, according to this. And suddenly there was a noise from the sky which sounded like a strong blowing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then they saw what looked like images of fire which spread out and touched each person. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to talk in other languages and understand in other languages. They were Jews living in Jerusalem, religious men who had come from every part of the world. And because at a celebration of a Jewish time, there would be a big crowd of people who would come and to celebrate those special things, and then they would go back home. They were all excited because each one of them heard the believers talking with their language. How is it, he said, that all of us then hear this? And then it goes on with a long list of places. What the author is trying to say is people from everywhere, all over for them the known kind of world, were there with all of their languages. How is it that all of them speaking in their own languages that we can hear? And all of us hear them speaking in our own language about the great things that God has done. Amazed and confused, that's interesting, they were asking each other, what in the heck does this mean? Heck's not in there. And they made fun of them, some of them did. These people are drunk. And then Peter stood up with a loud voice and began to speak to the crowd, and they all listened to him. And he says they were not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Instead, this is what Joel, which is another prophet, spoke about. This is what I will do in those last days, God says. I will pour out my spirit on everyone. Your sons and daughters will proclaim my message. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will have dreams. And even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they will proclaim my message. And I will perform miracles in the sky above and wonders of the earth below. And there will be blood and fire and thick smoke. Then the sun will be darkened and the moon will turn red as the blood before the great and glorious day that the Lord has come. Here ends our reading from the scripture. Let me get a drink of water a minute. The writer of the book of Acts is telling the story of the beginning of the Christian movement that we refer often to Pentecost, although it was already called Pentecost as to when he locates it in that 50 days after Easter. And it's the Jewish festival, and it's the Day of Atonement, Easter is, for Jesus' death. And then they have the celebration of Pentecost. Another way of, did you listen to all this language? It's almost poetry. It's almost ecstasy. It's big, what I call a big bang explosion. Let me tell you how great we were. And so at the very beginning, and so, boy, he pulls in everything, fire and smoke and everything else and the wind and fire to try to help us, ultimately, though, as you look at it, to hear each other and to say, what does this mean? What is this happening to us? Let me back up a minute. As you heard in the very interesting translation of Genesis here. In the beginning of the scriptures, they had one language, although it was really only a tribal kind of language at that particular early stage of the game. And then there comes this use of this story. There was an ancient story that had floated around long before they wrote anything down about a particular time in which the languages were created. And so the writer picks up this story, gives it a different twist, and puts it in the scripture here. They adapted it and used it, involving different languages. Babylon was sitting with a huge high tower, so the elite could do anything they wanted to. They were in charge, and you heard the phrase from the thing, well, they'll be able to do anything they want to. Yes, yes. Complete domination and exploitation. The few at the top, all the benefits. Everybody else, exploitation. They want to be like gods, in a sense, it says. And so God comes down and he destroys the tower and he scatters the people all over the known world with different languages. So that's part of the background here for us to understand, written in a sense very long ago. The particular story that it is done by the writer comes during the Hebraic Jewish harvest festival, which they call Pentecost, which literally means 50 days after Easter, or 50 days after atonement for the Jewish people. And that's where he puts it, on purpose, and it makes sense. It involves there the reminding of their escape from Egypt, from the bondage, and their liberation from slavery, becoming a new people. Egypt's captivity was kind of like slavery, bondage, dictatorship, exploitation, domination, and they had escaped from that with freedom and joy. And they were also, within it was this deal of the attention of injustice and the freeing of oppressed people involved. They even invited the poor and the strangers to come for free meal and come and celebrate with them their wonderful time. So this is the Jewish festival. So here's the writer, and he's writing much later, probably about around 100 or 110, and he's looking back at the beginning to write how we got started. And he does it by laying it over against the Jewish Pentecost idea. I couldn't help but add one little thing in here before we jump to Pentecost of ourselves. There's an interlude in 1 Samuel in the 8th chapter. Samuel the prophet is getting old. His sons don't seem to be worth it at all, a question mark. So they come and they say, "Samuel, when you die, we want a king. We want to be like all those other nations and have a king." And Samuel sits down a minute and he says, "I want you to hear this. This is how a king will treat you. He will make your sons soldiers. They will also have to plow his fields, not their own. He will take your best fields and vineyards for himself. He will remove your cooks and bakers and make them his cooks and bakers." And then the kicker. "And then you will ultimately be slaves to the king." Even hearing that, the people still said, "We want a king like other people have a king." Yes. And so he gave him a king, and by the time it gets to David, there's a certain amount of this going on, but when they have Solomon, his son, the whole thing is a dictatorship, and even their own people are slaved, many of them, the ones that he doesn't like, the brother doesn't like. The people paid no attention. Now we come to the book of Acts, and this one. This is the story of the Christian Pentecost, in a sense. It's highly exaggerated. I've known that for some time when I've looked at it. Take a look at the numbers sometime. It starts off with a small group that comes to about 120 people, and then they go out, and just everybody hears it, and everybody is saved, and everybody is baptized. 3,000 people. Then two pages later, it said 5,000 people. And it's talking about men, which means the wives and the children aren't added, so you've got even more than that. I mean, he wanted to make it a big bang, and he really did, but that's almost outlandish considering the situation. but I won't go into any more detail about that right now. We actually know that the group started off small and in cities and places and so on, and then begin to communicate and to grow. And by the time that this writer is telling the story, why heavens, now they are a fairly large group. They are very active. And he takes that, in a sense, and puts it back into the story at the beginning. And he said they had a great unity and direction from the very beginning, which, if you know anything about starting, the few core group do, and the rest of them are all over the place. But anyhow, they were pulled together. But this story is still important because it points to reminding us of the excitement of being a Christian. The excitement, as he puts it, at the very beginning, with all of the language. It also points to the point that rank individualism is a chaos, and total central control dictatorship is chaos. Both involve lack of hearing, enslavement of a bunch of the people on the bottom. All right, now let's look and we'll see what all this means. So God, in a sense, turns and looks at us, and he sees us with, you know, my religion, your church's religion, the me-us religion, all centered around us, our needs, our desires, our self-determination. It happens so easily. It's kind of a fortress mentality. The other people are all wrong. We keep others away. We're really the Christians. And so God, in a sense, if we hear this story right, creates a multitude of languages so that we will not understand each other. Now, whether we have God doing it or not, what has happened and happens every time all along the way, so it's not just today, that we all get to the point where we don't seem to understand each other. It's talking about a new spirit of God, how we face each other once again. But now God has scattered us. We're in desperate need of this sort of feeling. Another word that's used oftentimes for Pentecost, for us, this is the birthday of the church. We should celebrate it as the birthday of Christianity. Great, good. It's got rushing wind, it's got burning fire, it's drunk with the Spirit. But somehow or another, we are still in the situation where we don't seem to understand sometimes even the people that we know real well, and we sure don't the rest of the people. Take your family. The wife, frustrated and angry, cries out to her husband, "You just don't understand." Of course, that doesn't happen in yours, of course. And then the other way around, he thinks he understands everything, which of course he doesn't. And then eventually it gets to where you really don't care about each other or what the other one says or thinks. And they become strangers. Or take the generation gap. Father and son. What is my son talking about? I don't understand this. Different language. Not only that, but my son dares to disagree with me. Or the mother and the daughter. Living in what you feel like sometimes a different world. We don't seem to have something in common. It's the old story of the Tower of Babel. or the tower of chaos, in a sense, once again, we get our necks all stiff. And we long for something somehow or another to break through the barrier. And our tendency is to say, well, if they will just come into my world, assume my point of view, adopt my values and my prejudices, then we'll be all together. But you see how conceited and selfish that is. And here, in a sense, the scripture is trying to get at this. We have all sorts of relationships that way. White and black. There's probably not a black here this morning. Different situations, different history, different ways of understanding what is going on in the world, a different perspective. And we tend to think we, of course, are the ones that really are right and have the right understanding. How many do we talk to understand the other side? Affluent and poor, the dispossessed, we stay out of those neighborhoods. The employed and unemployed, even that one. Small town, big city, you've never heard, of course, of that. You probably think of yourself as a small town. Actually, you're not small in East Texas, but be that as it may, I guess in terms of the big cities, you very definitely are. Republicans and Democrats, conservatives and progressives. The current thing going on, but we're not the first to have it happen, is that we set up barriers. You and I, not just those other people, we've hardened our ears, our minds, our wills, our voices. We've lost patience with each other. So therefore, we want to control others, coerce, punish, control, restrain those others that we don't understand, the strangers. Cut welfare programs. That's all right. I'm not on a welfare program, so it doesn't hurt me. Medical care, state of Texas didn't even take on having Medicaid like they could have. Cut help for children and poor and mentally ill. Ooh, gosh, that's going to cost a lot of money, and I don't know whether it'll work. Keep people from voting. I said to myself when I looked at this, that part I had written probably 8-10 years ago, so it's very current situation. You know, don't let the people that are like us vote, not those other people. And then we have the audacity to say we're Christians, that we love God. There's some problem here. Remember what Jesus says, love the Lord your God and love the other person, the stranger, the neighbor, not just the one that lives next door to you, neighbor, but those other people way away that you don't know, the same way you love yourself. And if you don't do that, you can talk all night that you want to talk about how much you love God or believe in the gospel, but you're not. That hurts all of us. Deafness cuts us off from people. I know something about that since I have a real problem with my hearing as I get older. Scripture tells us that the gospel of good news does that. The power of God, though, can transform us so that we can hear each other. Even maybe want to hear each other. Be open to the Spirit of God. The rich differences between all people, even in a congregation, yes. But the love of God is created. It's part of the world. the world, it makes the world go round, opening also to the crushing differences among the poor and the disadvantaged that didn't have the benefits that we've had. With the gift of the Spirit, we become more aware of the differences. We need to hear and understand the other, the stranger. We were originally created that way, in all of the fascinating differences. This story assures us that the creative spirit is still at work, restlessly, eagerly trying to open, not just as other people, open up ourselves, despite ourselves, to restore what we were created to be and to continue to hear and care and help and understand other people. It's my firm conviction that the Scripture says it's fine and good to talk about Pentecost. It's fine and good to talk about what you believe. And it's fine and grand to talk about being a Christian. But to do so really requires a change in our action and our practice. How we live out this way, new way, what it means to be a Christian in our life and our world today. Let me try a couple of quick things. Use your imagination. This is a birthday party. This is exciting. What could it mean? A child of God brings his balloon up here in worship. Probably sits right up here. Maybe pulls it and says, "Whoopee!" You old women, not just old, start to dance. The men see visions. The old men even dream dreams. Wow. And the daisies bloom when the ground is barren or desert. And the walls come tumbling down. That's the spirit. It's when loaves of bread are brought to feed the hungry, not just us. When shackles are discarded. When coats are taken off and put on the backs of the people that are cold and huddled and shivering. I like this one. It's where people can disagree and still hold hands at the same time. It's when we're a rainbow with a whole bunch of colors, not just literal colors, but all sorts of individuality of our own. It's when caterpillars, those of you that are caterpillars, become butterflies. Try thinking about being a butterfly as a Christian. When children come giggling in procession and we say, "Oh, this is worship service, don't do a thing like that." When the anthem is the laughter of the people. And where the offering plates are full of people in dedication and commitment to the way of life in the midst of the world. It's when we see injustices, we must be aware of God's charge to us of freedom for the oppressed, dispossessed, and oppressed. It's when people skin their knees or their hearts, and maybe even they share it with us. It's when you frogs become princesses. It's when Cinderella dances past midnight. Think about it. These are the kind of things you really ought to think about when you come to church. It's when each child of God is beautiful and precious. It's where the wonderful wildness of God. Have you ever thought about the wildness of God? Try reading a lot of the scripture that you don't read most of the time. It breaks through the clay pots that we put around us and fills us with overflowing hearts and lives with the Holy Spirit. Yes, in a sense, they were drunk that day, but not necessarily with wine. They were drunk with a dizzying possibility, wild possibility, of the love and Spirit of God breaking out all over the place, smashing down our barriers, and opening up our ears and our eyes and our minds and our hearts. It really is possible. It really is. Especially by the grace of God. So Pentecost says, let's get with it now and not just talk about it. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith with the use of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hopefully, we're not the dead, we're the quick. That's interesting phrases. Let us come before God in prayer. Oh God, who through your Spirit can turn towers of Babel and Babel into upper rooms and into action. Bring unity where there is separation, understanding where there is confusion, peace where there is discord, confrontation where there is injustice. You know the causes of our disunity and feelings of alienations from others, fear that feeds our suspicions, envy that covets somebody else's success, hatred that flows from resentments, greed that grows without pain, all the sins of the Spirit that bind us to our needs for each other, but still divide us one from another. O Spirit of God, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts as we open ourselves now, as we continue the mood that Jesus presents before us, as we examine our inner being, as we hear the probing words of Scripture, as we acknowledge the need of each other. Bring us together as a human family, not even just a church family, where we know we are one in the Spirit, sisters and brothers together, living and dying together, depending upon each other, needing the action, the involvement of one another, nurture the love of others, and bound with you to others. Spirit of God, through this worship, grant us a sure vision of the whole family of God, and especially the household of faith, because your love is wider than the ocean, deeper than the sea, higher than the heavens. As we pray together that prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us sing our hymn.
If you would stand, please, if you're able, let every Christian pray, number 130.
Do it here instead of out there, so maybe you can hear me. Go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast that which is good. Render no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.